Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Capsule. Here we open the capsule on several health conditions and concerns that may help you gain knowledge to better your well-being. How's it going now?
Not too bad. Not working today. How are you?
Work later.
Okay, yep.
So should be fun.
Yeah, December coming. The chaotic time where we doing thousands of script a day. Yep. Not really, but like... just crazy.
Gets busier, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got your Christmas presents ready?
Not yet, because I'm not sure how many people am I getting presents for.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're doing Secret Santa at work.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
That one I'm sorted. I got, like, easy one.
Nice.
He's a Star Wars fan, so easy.
Easy.
And then... in terms of like family wise, not sure yet because we haven't talked about it. How many am I getting for? How about you?
No, I was just going to wait till like the day before Christmas and just see what was left on the shelf.
Yeah, the usual.
Yep.
Yeah, cheap. Just Kmart, man.
Kmart, yep. Kmart hacks.
I'm actually thinking of this year, I'm just going to get everyone a book.
A book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like reading book is actually like... for the last year, I've been listening to podcasts and listening to audiobook. It's actually so
relaxing,
useful. Like it's actually useful. You learn a lot.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of like I've been reading like finance book, investment book, sort of thing. You learn just or like just money management, sort of personal thing. It's just quite useful trick and stuff.
Handy so, in the real world.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna get everyone book.
No, that's fair enough.
So if you want a present from me, that would be just book.
That book. Alrighty, I'll count on it.
All right. So let's dive into the topic today. So, in the last year, there's more than 3.2 million people in Australia living with chronic pain. So it can be like just normal aches and pain, or can be low back pain, things like that. A lot of them, they don't try any medication, or not even going to physio or anything to sort it out, and it can affect the quality of life. So. Like, I used to have pretty severe back pain.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
But, yeah, I went to physio, and it helps a lot. So, my back pain is sort of gone now.
Yeah.
Still come back every now and then, but it's not too bad.
It's not constant.
Yeah. So, in terms of medication, there are two medication in terms of, like, over-the-counter stuff or not so hardcore that can be used. First one is paracetamol, and second one is... non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, and we call it NSAID.
Yep.
So before we dive in into those two medication, there is this acid that we need to know. It's called arachidonic acid, which is like a polyunsaturated fatty acid in the cell's membrane of your body. So it is crucial in how those medication work because it's helped with the signaling channel in your system. So it's helped tell your brain, oh, you need to do something about this pain, something about this inflammation and things like that. And in this thing called arachidonic acid pathway, there are three enzymes that's very crucial. The first one is cyclooxygenase 1, which is called COX-1, which sort of regulate the gastric cytoprotection, so like the acid release in your stomach and also the blood thinning productions in the system as well. The second one is called COX-2, which regulate the anti-inflammatory and also pain relief as well. And both of those enzyme does affect your kidney flow and kidney filtration rate. And there's another one, it's called COX-3. However, it's still not clear understand yet. And it's not not much study behind it. You can refer to one of the video that me and Ishan used to make back in the day. It's called How Does Paracetamol Work on YouTube. It's pretty funny to watch that.
Animation.
Yeah. So let's start with paracetamol, shall we?
Yep. So paracetamol, it's your first line pain relief. A lot of people, I'm not sure if you get this coming into your pharmacy saying that when you recommend it, they say, no, it's too weak. But it is first line for a reason. So let's go into how it works. So basically, its antipyretic effect is due to the reduced production of prostaglandins. So prostaglandins are a chemical compound which help with contraction and relaxation of your smooth muscles, the dilation and constriction of blood vessels, and the control of your blood pressure and modulation of inflammation. So the one Nan was referring to, the COX-3, is what it's believed to inhibit, but as we said before, not too sure how it works, which is funny because it's meant to be your first line of analgesic, but we're still unsure as to how it works.
Yeah, like not sure if you read this article recently, but they say that if paracetamol only been invented now, it will not get approved. It won't
pass.
Yeah, because it just
not enough. Yeah, but it's out there, so may as well use it. It does have anti-inflammatory effects, but they're pretty much negligible, so you can't really get any anti-inflammatory effects from paracetamol. So in terms of dose, so you can have quite a bit of it. The maximum is 4 grams daily. It can be used in all age groups and is preferred to NSAIDs for mild to moderate pain, mainly due to the fact that it has fewer adverse effects. If they're finding that paracetamol alone isn't helping treat the pain, you can add an NSAID, so you can get extra analgesic effects, but you'd have to use like a lower and intermittent dose of the NSAID. So once you take the tablet of paracetamol, you usually do get pain relief within 30 minutes after taking the oral tablet. If it's rectal absorption, it can be erratic and delayed. So usually that's why the oral one is preferred, unless, you know, you've got like a really young baby and they're not taking any paracetamol, so you can get the suppositories. And in terms of IV infusion, the onset of pain relief is usually within 5 to 10 minutes. So that's pretty quick.
Yeah. But you know, like even though paracetamol is sort of considered safe and first line of treatment, there are more than 100,000 people admitted to hospital for overdosing on paracetamol in Australia alone in the last 10 years. And this number is actually a lot higher in many other countries, just because in Australia, people are...
just keep taking it.
Yeah, keep taking it. And they don't know that... They all thought that, oh, just paracetamol, nothing will happen. But because the paracetamol is... metabolized through your liver, through a certain enzyme, so that's why it can. And once it's depleted this enzyme, then it will cause toxicity in your system. So the acute overdose can be happen when you take more than 10 gram in within the 24 hours. Or even if you take more than 4 grams a day, then you are putting yourself at risk of it. The way to counteract with Panadol toxicity is this medication called N-acetylcysteine. So normally you'll get it when you go to the hospital or emergency department, and they will give you that. So just got to be careful, because paracetamol appear in a lot of medication, not just plain like Panadol, Panamax, and things like that. It appear in your cold and flu medication, Lemsip, which is a lot of people doesn't think that they have paracetamol. They also come in some combination with NSAID, like Panadol and ibuprofen, and also with some opioids as well, like Panadol and codeine. So you got to be really careful of that, and remember, no more than 4 grams in a day.
So even with your script items as well, can be included there.
Yep. Okay, so that's it with paracetamol. So the next group we were talking about today is NSAID, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So Ishan, you want to start talking about that?
So they've got three property actions. So there's analgesic, so your pain relief, antipyretic, so you're reducing fever, and anti-inflammatory, as we discussed before. So usually these are second line after paracetamol, and so you can use them for pain due to inflammation, so that's such as your rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis, gout, ankylosing spondylitis, headaches, migraines, as well as heavy menstrual bleeding. So the precautions with NSAIDs, so dehydration. There's also asthma, can exacerbate asthma. The coagulation disorders, so it can increase that risk of bleeding. So always make sure that you're telling your healthcare professional that you're on anticoagulants, and also bruising for topical NSAIDs. The ones to watch out for in terms of medical conditions as well, so are your cardiovascular, gastrointestinal, hypersensitivity, renal, hepatic, if you've had surgery recently or are about to have surgery, elderly, and pregnancy and breastfeeding. So always make sure to check that with your healthcare professional.
Yeah, especially with surgery as well, because people don't tend to tell the pharmacist or doctors or the nurse that they're on a certain over-the-counter medication, and there's a lot of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory on the shelf, like ibuprofen, Voltarent. So they make sure that you tell them that.
Tell them everything.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Even like herbal medications as well.
Definitely.
So in terms of your common NSAIDs, so they're grouped into two types. So you've got your non-selective COX inhibitors, as we just discussed before. So these are ibuprofen, diclofenac, indomethacin, ketoprofen, mefenamic acid, naproxen, and aspirin, but only at 300 milligrams. So your selective COX-2 inhibitors, so that's the one that's more gentle on the stomach. They are your celecoxib, meloxicam, etoricoxib, and paracoxib. So like we said before, they're safe to use with paracetamol and to avoid them when you're dehydrated. They haven't found a rationale to use more than one NSAID at a time, so you can use that with paracetamol for increased analgesic effect and to use them at a low dose for a short period of time. So with your topical NSAIDs, you've got the creams and gels. So generally, these are more effective to localize the pain relief. So if you've got it, say, on your back or just on your legs or something, it's easier to just rub it in rather than take a tablet and wait 20, 30 minutes for it to kick in. So generally, they tend to be a lot more effective if it's just a localized area.
So with the NSAID, make sure that you take it with food, with the non-selective COX inhibitor, just because they also affect the COX, both COX-1 and COX-2. And then with the other group, the selective COX-2, because they only do affect the COX-2. So you can take without food, but still preferably take it with food. Because, like, for example, the meloxicam, it is a selective at lower dose, so like 7.5 milligram. But when you go higher strength, then it's become a non-selective. So just be aware of that as well. With NSAID, there's one thing that can be dangerous, but it's not well known. It's called triple whammy. I think it's been covered on 7 News lately, but still doesn't gain enough attention. So what triple whammy is, when you take a group of these three medication, first one is NSAID, the second one is diuretic, and the third one is this group of blood pressure medication called ACE inhibitor or sartan. So basically what happening is the ACE inhibitor or the sartan, they preserve the renal function, and they decrease glomerular filtration by causing like the blood vessel to dilate, and the diuretic also reduce the volumes of the blood going through the kidney as well. At the same time, when you're taking NSAID with it, it's caused like constriction within the kidney. So with all of that combined together, it can cause kidney failure, especially if you take it for long term, or if you're dehydrated or you are an elderly patient. So that can be quite dangerous. So make sure that if you go to multiple doctors or multiple pharmacy, or basically if you don't go to the same place all the time, make sure that you let them know that you're on all of this medication. Because if they don't have the whole history of your medical, then they will never be able to tell whether you are on this like dangerous combination or not. Mm-hmm. Same thing apply with every other medication as well, not yep. just NSAID. Anything else you want to add on top? Have you another thing as well that I also want to mention is with aspirin. So you said about aspirin 300 milligram and above are for painkillers. The aspirin at 100 milligram are only for anti-platelet effect, so like for blood thinner purpose for people with like cardiovascular problems or having high stroke risk. So make sure that you, when you go to buy aspirin or something like that, you tell the person what are you trying to get from it, whether you're trying to get stop blood clot or you want to get it for pain or anti-inflammatory. Another thing with aspirin, a bit special, is you try not to give it to children or young kid because of the potential of Ray syndrome. That will be a whole different topic, but just be aware of that and try not to give aspirin to young kid as well. Anything else you want to add beside that?
No, that's pretty much it in a capsule.
In a capsule, yes.
Yeah.
And so if you have any question again, feel free to message it at breakingthecapsule@gmail.com. If you like our podcast, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. 1-star is fine, just any review would do. And we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All of the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you have any questions, please see your healthcare professional.